Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein, and we're recording live from Barcelona. We're at Mobile World Congress, and I've got Sandra Rivera, VP and General Manager of the Network Platforms Group with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, since the last time you were on the show, you picked up a new title, so congratulations for that.
Thank you very much.
You're now heading up the Network Platform Group. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about what that role means to you?
So it's exciting for me because I've been on this journey with this team for the better part of a decade. So while the name is new, the title is new, the passion for the business is actually something, it's a journey that I've been on for a while. So the Network Platforms Group, of course, is part of the Data Center Group, and we represent all of the communications, silicon, and software ingredients that go into networks, whether that's for telco vertical, cloud vertical, or of course, the enterprise IT data center.
So backing up a couple years, you and I sat at MWC and you told me about this new technology called NFV and how it was going to change the game in telco. And man, 2 years moving forward, you were right. The industry has really caught in a flame with this technology.
Yeah, it is super fun to think that we were that prescient to see it coming. But in some ways, in retrospect, it just makes so much economic sense. The idea that you can ride the volume server economics curve, the innovation curve, the virtualization capabilities and all of that gives you in terms of pools of assets that you can reutilize and repurpose for different workloads and different tenants and different use cases. And of course, the cloud business models, which is something that the communication service provider and the telco industry in general really aspire to be much more dynamic and flexible and scalable in terms of their overall network assets.
The last couple of years, we've been talking a lot about the underlying infrastructure that will actually fuel this transition. But this year, it seems like the industry has really been sparked with imagination around new service capabilities and delivering very distinct and pointed services that can solve business challenges. What has been your response to what you've seen?
Again, if you dial the clock back in terms of a lot of the work that we have done for the last probably really 5 years, it was all about technical feasibility and really proving that you really can deploy and meet the performance and security and reliability requirements with general purpose processing, no longer requiring purpose-built silicon and vertically integrated solutions. I think a lot of that technical feasibility work is done. Not to say that we don't have additional technical challenges and some other evolution and the ongoing investments that we make in technology leadership, but the bigger issues right now are ones around the business attractiveness and the commercial viability and the business process reengineering that needs to happen. And much of that is really fueled not so much by a desire for cost savings and maybe some CapEx and maybe bigger OpEx savings, but what are some of those new revenue opportunities and new services that I could more quickly deploy in a network that is programmable and that is open to innovation and more market participation? And we see that in all parts of the network, but particularly in the access part of the network where you can serve up new services, where you can introduce big data and data analytics to mine some of the gold that is there in terms of what is happening with either your customers, your profiles, contextually in the network, and then use that to serve up useful data either upstream to the content providers or downstream to the actual users, whether they're enterprises or consumers.
When you talk to telco operators, what is their sense in terms of how they want to extract value from this technology in the short term? And where do you see their visions long term in terms of transforming their businesses with the technology?
The first conversation is very much around cost savings. So they certainly don't want to pay more. They believe that there will be some cost savings, particularly when you have a more competitive market and more choice in the market. They think the bigger savings will come from operational benefits, automation, having a common environment in terms of refreshes and software patches and all the things that are more easily done in software than hardware. But where they aspire to is to very quickly introduce new services to different markets. markets, different customers, different environments, they believe that barrier to innovation will be much, much lower and really transformational for them. And again, being more responsive.
What kinds of new services do you hear telcos talking about in terms of offering new capabilities to their customer base?
One is around the virtual CPE. And this particular use case is one that has been trialed and now being deployed by Telefonica. And what they were looking to do is to upgrade customers from IPv4 to IPv6, which would normally represent truck rolls, bringing new equipment out. What they decided instead is, hey, why don't we do that IPv4 to IPv6 upgrade in software? But while we're doing that, why don't we look at some of the new services that we could potentially deploy? And we've done some things around my personal media cloud, as an example, to store photos or video or other personal content. Another good example is something that we did with Verizon, a proof of concept around WAN and cloud bursting from private to public cloud, not having to pre-provision public cloud resources, but based on a set of SLAs and a set of policies, when you reach a peak traffic, to be able to automatically switch over to the public cloud and then be backbilled for that by the end of the month. Intel IT was the proxy for a large enterprise in terms of that particular use case, but it was so successful that Verizon actually rolled it out as part of their enterprise portfolio last year.
Now, obviously, it takes a broad ecosystem to bring this to light, to build the solution stacks required, and the work that Intel has done in terms of building ecosystem cohesion has been stunning. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I'm glad you asked about that because this is something that I am particularly proud of. I say that we started out, I joke with the team, with a dollar and a dream because we had a great idea, not a lot of funding, but really passionate people that believed in what we were doing. And of course, ecosystem enabling is in Intel's DNA. As we looked at the market and the network transforming, we saw the need to have more participation in the market. We worked throughout 2013 to launch the Intel Network Builders community. That was with a couple dozen customers or partners, and I think we just crossed over the 125 member mark. It's very exciting because you see this appetite for collaboration and a community coming together. One of the decisions that we made last year, which is proving out to be very valuable for the community, is to invite the end customers, the actual communication service providers, to participate as well in a semi-private portal. You know, some want to be very public in terms of the things that they're doing.
Right.
Some want to be a little bit more close to the vest on that. But what they have represented now coming into the community is an opportunity to create the focus around the specific business problems that they're trying to solve or the market opportunity addressing their business challenges would represent. So today we have Telefonica there, we have SK Telecom there, and we have América Móvil there, and we have a few more on deck that we expect to join. But the community loves it because they get close to the customer, they understand those requirements, and of course the service providers love it because they get focused investment in the areas that they really want to see addressed in the market.
And that brings us back to Mobile World Congress. Intel announced a few things with partners this week. Do you want to tell us about those?
Yeah. One was announced yesterday, where Ericsson announced their new cloud system using Intel Rackscale architecture. Alcatel-Lucent also announced that they're bringing their virtualized RAN product to market. This is on the heels of the announcement we made just a year ago on the strategic collaboration. And then the last one, Huawei, in fact, announced their optimized solutions to enable the telco communication service providers to become cloud service providers along the veins of what Ericsson had announced. Ericsson's probably more focused on rack-scale architecture. Huawei's looking at existing server architecture, but either way, they're looking to enable a broader business footprint and more services revenue for the whole telco industry.
Well, Sandra, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's been a delight.
It's been fun. Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.